Proverbs chapter 26, as we are continuing in our study through the book of Proverbs. Why don't we together read the first 12 verses, Proverbs chapter 26, beginning in verse 1. As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back, or for the fool's back, that is. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. That great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. I am so grateful that your word does address so many different types of persons that there are in the world. And your word encourages us to understand the different characteristics of some people who your heart's desire for us is to avoid having relationships with these certain types of people. And so, God, we thank you for your word that helps us to understand these things. And Lord, we read of a lot of verses, and some of them don't seem clear. So we ask you for the understanding. We ask you to cause us to receive the instruction of wisdom so that way we would be able to accurately apply the truths that we have learned in our dealings with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it would be safe to say that most of us, if not all of us, have done something that we ourselves would say that was dumb. We've either said something foolish or we've done something foolish. Can you think of a time that you've said something? Think of something foolish, maybe having to redo something because you didn't read the instructions before you started assembling whatever it was, and then after 2 hours you realize you did something wrong. And you got to go back and fix it and think, man, what a fool, what a waste of time. Or putting your finger in the fan. You ever done that? Oh, man. Playing with the fan. That was stupid. Or calling someone a wrong name after 3 minutes prior they told you what their name was, and then after, it's like, how you doing? I'm Joe. 3 minutes later, we'll see you, Jim. Joe, I'm Joe, and they correct you, and you feel so foolish. Well, you know, there's a big difference between saying something or doing something that's foolish and being someone who is foolish. And the Bible has much to say about foolish people. We just read 12 verses, and if you didn't get it, the theme of those 12 verses had to do with the fool. It may interest you to know that the Bible teaches that a fool is more than a person lacking in judgment. Because a person under the right influence, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, under the influence of God's Word, under the influence of being in an environment with godly people, can develop better judgment skills. I know that very well. But the Bible teaches that a fool is a person with a certain disposition, an attitude, one who chooses to be a fool. For example, the psalmist in Psalm 14:1, he writes, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt," in regards to the fool. The fool is corrupt. The fool has done abominable works or detestable works, horrible, terrible works. This is the way the inspired psalmist sees it, and this is the way the scriptures define what a real fool is. One who says in his heart, there's no God. And some have even taken it to say, they say in their heart, no God. No. I'll do it my way. I don't want to follow or be under your authority. And to God, that is so foolish. I mean, think about it. God created man. God is the only Savior, the only source of salvation. There is no other Savior other than through faith in Jesus Christ. And a person says, God, I don't want you in my life. No, God. And even there is no God. And no fool, as far as God is concerned, does what is good. It's kind of interesting on a side note. Could you imagine giving this to the chief musician and saying, hey, I wrote a song. I wrote a song about fools, and I want you to play this when we all gather for corporate worship in the temple, in our gathering. How would that sound? I mean, what's the first line? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. I highly doubt it. It would have been much better than that. But it is a little interesting how there are strong statements of certain personalities or characteristics of a person who's gone astray that were even sung in the gathering of the saints of old. Another rendition of this verse, a paraphrase, puts it this way. The man who is a fool, or the man is a fool who says to himself, there is no God. Anyone who talks like that is warped and evil and cannot really be a good person at all. Now, out of the 66 books in the Bible, the word fool is found in 12 books in the New King James Version of the Bible. And Proverbs comes in at number one of the 12 books, where the word fool is found in 44 verses. 44 verses. The Proverbs has much to say about fools. And in this study, the Proverbs dedicate these 12 first verses of chapter 26 to the subject, a subject that I've entitled, Watch Out for That Fool. Watch out for that fool. Man, I was laughing in my office all by myself when I put that down. I thought that was funny. Watch out for that fool. Now, some of you may feel like, wow, that's kind of strong. It is strong what God thinks about the fool. Pretty straightforward. They're corrupt. Their works are corrupt. They don't do anything good. That's how God sees them. Now, there are several lessons, takeaways that we are going to receive from this study. And so the first one is this. We learn from the first proverb, and this is for those of you who are in positions where you can actually put people into positions, whether it's in the workplace or whether you're volunteering in some type of organization, secular organization. But the big idea of verse 1 is this: don't put fools in positions of influence. This is the way Solomon puts it: as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. You know, snow in the summer is unheard of in the land of Palestine. And rain in harvest time was also very, very unusual. And rain during the harvest season could be devastating to the livelihood of people. And in this sense, to give honor to a fool is damaging to people. It's unsuitable and dangerous. And so a fool who is elevated to a place of honor or a place of influence can do tremendous, lasting damage. And remember, a fool is not a person who necessarily lacks in judgment, but a fool is a person who says, there's no God, or no God. And there's a lot of people that hold that view and those attitudes that are in positions of leadership, and you're seeing, as far as our country is concerned, the devastating effects. Now, the second thing we can take from our study through these verses, in verse 2, we're going to see where Solomon, in a nutshell, says, don't let what fools say to or about you worry you. In verse 2, he says, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. You understand that curses of men are rooted in superstition and foolishness. You know, wise people pay no attention to curses. And just as sparrows and swallows fly away from people, so curses don't land on the innocent. People could say whatever they want, but they don't land. Just like birds, they're scared, they're skittish. They're always flying from place to place. They fly away from people. People come, that's the idea. that the curses of the fool, I have to worry about him. Nothing's going to come out of it. There's no such thing as bad luck, as some people think. And it is foolish to think that certain actions or subjects can curse people and bring bad luck to land on them. You know, it's interesting because the word curse in the original language has a leaning toward vilification. It's to damage someone's character or reputation. And there are those fools that just love to go around and damage people's reputation. And thus the proverb is also encouraging the believer not to be preoccupied with the fool who tries to defame good character. Their foolish words is an attempt to vilify you, and nothing will come out of that in the end. Now, the third thing, in verse 3, we see a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. In other words, we could take and extract this idea: don't fail to discipline fools when it's within your authority to do so. You know, here he uses animals to illustrate a point. The untamed horse or donkey needs to be restrained and restricted until they break. And even after they are brought under control, they still need to be put under guidance. And the sad reality is that for some who are reckless, wild, stubborn, and unteachable, there is more hope for an animal to learn to be self-governed than for a fool. You know, some people just refuse to change. They resist change. And they reject help when it's offered. That really is foolish. And then, depending on how they conduct themselves and who they affect out in public, their foolishness could lead to being controlled by others, being physically disciplined and forced, put under force. You know, I put a slide into the schedule. I had Tony do that today, and I'm going to have Tony McLaren show you this slide. It's probably hard to see the lettering, but this is a graph, a chart of how many people have been incarcerated. And I can't remember what the end year was, but I think I might even say it up there. Let's see. So 2010, right? And you see a dramatic increase from 1975 to 2010. Now, since that time, the population really hasn't grown. I mean, it's grown significantly, but not that much that there's such a gap between people who are being incarcerated and the growth of population. It's not like there's billions and billions and billions and billions of people who have populated the United States, so that's why we see the growth. It's not that case. That's not the case. There's a lot of people who are incarcerated, and I'm not saying that every one of them is a fool, don't get me wrong, but a lot of them have lost their privileges and their freedoms because they couldn't govern themselves in whatever it is that they were doing. That's sad. I mean, and look at how much since 1975, the growth rate, it's over tripled. You know, according to the U.S. Bureau of Justice Statistics, over 2.2 million adults were incarcerated in U.S. federal and state prison and county jails at year-end 2011. Additionally, almost 5 million adults at year-end 2011 were on probation or on parole. In total, almost 7 million adults were under correctional supervision in 2011. All because they don't know how to control themselves. And so it's so important to discipline. And unfortunately, the scriptures tell us that just like in order to get a horse under submission, you sometimes have to whip it real good. And in order to get a donkey to yield, you got to put a bridle in its mouth. Unfortunately, fools, the only way some of them will learn is through punishment, physical punishment. Now, the next thing is know when to and when not to address a fool. This is what Solomon talks about in verses 4 and 5. And we read, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." Now, these two verses may on the surface seem to be a contradiction, but they're not. The Proverbs are telling us that there are times to avoid addressing fools and times when one needs to speak up and address a fool. As well as right and wrong, a right and wrong way to address a fool. That's what these two verses are saying. So Solomon is cautioning us by saying, don't stoop to a fool's level by arguing with a fool over pointless things. Otherwise, you will look like a fool yourself, and you'll be wasting your time. But when a fool's statements are disturbing or damaging to others, then they need to be corrected. Otherwise, if they get no resistance, no correction, no one to say, hey, that's wrong, and what you're doing, that you're hurting them. You're being foolish. Shut your mouth. Stop that. If there's no correction for their behavior, they'll feel empowered or right and continue in appropriate behavior, hurt others, and also influence some of lesser sort to follow in their folly and recklessness. Read it again. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Don't stoop to his level. Because if you stoop to his level, then you're acting just like he is. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So when a fool is doing something that needs to be addressed, you should address it. Otherwise, he's going to think that what he's doing is okay. So you see, there's no contradiction at all. The next big idea in verse 6 we find is don't trust fools with important responsibilities. It's very similar to verse 1. But here in verse 6, he says, he who sends a message by the hand of a fool. Listen. Cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Think of the graphic terms used in this proverb. Think about right now cutting off your own feet. I mean, visualize it. That's why he wrote that. I'm not trying to gross anybody out or make you feel uncomfortable. I didn't write this. This is inspired scriptures. And under the inspiration, Solomon, he says, he who sends a messenger by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. The message is pretty clear. The idea is this. You hurt yourself when you trust a fool with important responsibilities. Verse 7, like the legs of the lame that hang limp, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. One can extract this simple but very, very important, powerful idea. Don't invest in a fool. Don't invest in a fool, because wisdom is of no value to fools. Like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. I love the pictures that Solomon is painting with words. Let's think this through again. Another picture is painted for us by Solomon, and it is that of a man who has legs, but whose legs are useless or of no value to him because they're disabled. And so the person who is a fool is disabled by his foolish ways, and thus a proverb or the words of the wise are of no value to the fool. Therefore, it's a waste of time to invest wisdom in those who do not find the value of wisdom. And remember what wisdom is. It's skill for living godly. Wisdom is skill for living. And it's being able to take any situation, assess it, understand what God thinks and feels and says about it, and then do what God says in any given situation consistently. That's wisdom. God honors that. And that's how you develop skills for living in every area of life. But a fool, they're not interested in those things, so it makes no sense to invest in fools. It's also true that those who are known for being foolish are not taken seriously, and it could be looked at, that is, this proverb this way, when they speak, when they do have a proverb in the mouth, so to speak, when they say something that even is correct and makes sense, because they're known to be a fool, you don't pay much attention to what they have to say. And then verse 8 tells us, like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Again, this is very similar to verse 1, but think of the picture. What do you do with a slingshot? Do you bind the rock in the slingshot, or do you use the slingshot to thrust that rock to whatever the target is? You don't tape the rock to the slingshot. That makes no sense. He's painting these pictures. It's like, this doesn't make any sense. And neither does it make sense to give honor to a fool. Verse 9, like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. A commentary on the ancient book of timeless advice says this. This could mean one of several things in regards to verse 9. Number one, the drunkard may inflict damage on others by waving a thorn bush around dangerously. Two, he may be so insensitive to pain that he does not feel a thorn in his hand, much as a fool is insensitive to wisdom, very similar to verse 7. And then verse 3, a man who is so drunk that he cannot pull a thorn out of his hand is like a fool who cannot apply the proverb that he can quote. I tend to think that two, in my opinion, is a very good understanding of verse 9. Because a person who is drunk, they do lose sensitivity. I mean, I know for some of you it might be hard to believe, but I used to be somewhat of a drunkard prior to coming to Christ. And I remember getting so drunk and just passing out. And I remember being at this outdoor in the fields party. I think all you guys were there in your own events. Maybe some of you. And falling on the ground, and people actually walking over me and thinking, I don't even feel this. You just don't feel to some degree when you're that intoxicated. And so I think the same thing is true in the sense that wisdom, fools are insensitive to wisdom. They don't feel or see the value in wisdom. Verse 10, the great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. The big idea here is fools will not go unpunished by God. See, the fool will receive the consequences or punishment of his foolishness by God. Listen to this, what the proverb says in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 25 through 32. Listen. Because you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, who? The fool, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Remember, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. That's the consequences of their own doing. And God will punish those that are foolish and be filled with the fruit of their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Verse 11, another picture that is quite grotesque, Solomon uses, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. And fools just don't learn from their mistakes. Oftentimes, they're stubborn and they don't want to learn. It's not that they can't learn. They don't want to learn. They don't want to change. And this is truly disgusting and absurd behavior of a dog. If you think about it, a dog returning to his own vomit. Think about that for a minute. I know you don't want to, but think about it. Actually, as I was reading and doing some research and reading about dogs and reading about why we vomit, I actually started to feel nauseated. I want you to feel what I went through. I want us to be able to feel this together. We're family. We should, when one suffers, we all suffer. All kidding aside, the dog eats something that makes it sick. Think about it. The stomach works to get rid of the thing that is negatively affecting the dog and vomits it out. And the dog goes right back to the very thing that made it sick in the first place and takes it right back in. That's nasty. And a fool is worse than a dog because a dog has no ability to reason. A dog can't sit there and think, this is disgusting. Why am I doing that? Where we humans, we have the capability to reason and to think things through. But the fool doesn't learn from his gross and foolish mistakes. And Solomon tells us that he just repeats them again and again. Now, our last verse is verse 12. And here, Solomon tells us, do you see a man wise as in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. You know, a foolish person is bad, but there is something worse than a fool. And that's a prideful person. It's almost as if Solomon is saying, a fool is bad. No doubt about it. A fool is bad. And a prideful person is even worse. Now, in closing, the scriptures teach us that this life is very relational. In a sense, you could say it's bi-relational, or there's two relationships. There's the relationship with God, and then there's the relationship with our fellow man. And because being here as those of us who are in right relationship with God, being here in a world where there are all kinds of people, God, he definitely desires that we would be careful with having relationships with fools. Because you can get burned, you can get hurt, you can get influenced in a negative and bad way. Now, I would imagine that most of you here got a pretty good grip on this. But this is where we are in the text. And if I'm going to be a faithful pastor, I have to teach the whole counsel of God. And it doesn't matter if this excites me or if it makes you feel good or makes you feel gross, like vomiting. That makes no difference. I have to be faithful to share the truth of God. And that's what I love to do. And so it's good to be reminded. For some of us, you might be in a place where you need to hear this. You're a little younger. You have a lot less experience in what we call life. You've only had a few years of maybe being out on your own. Where some of us, we've been around the block quite a bit. But it's never bad to hear these truths, no matter where we are in our journey of faith. You see, the influence of fools is harmful to a person. It's harmful to a person, a believer, spiritual, mental, emotional, and even possibly physical well-being. And so, again, our takeaway from this study can be crystallized into these eight thoughts. Number one, don't put fools in positions of influence when you have the ability to put people in positions. Don't trust a fool with important responsibilities. Don't fail to discipline a fool when it's within your authority to do so. Number four, don't invest in a fool. Wisdom is of no value to a fool. Number five, know when to and when not to address a fool. Number six, don't let what fools say to you or about you worry you. Number seven, fools don't learn from their mistakes. Unless God intervenes and unless they humble themselves and say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry. Once I did that, the Lord changed me. So there is still hope for a fool. We read that. But generally speaking, fools don't learn from their mistakes. And number eight, fools will not go unpunished by God. So, in the closing statement, really the heartbeat, the word of exhortation from this message for us tonight is, stay away from those fools. Watch out for those fools. And Father, we thank you so much for the word of exhortation. And Lord, we pray that you would use us, help us to be discerning, and also help us to help others. Lord, we thank you for the training. You train us so that we can do the work of ministry. And some of the work of ministry is counseling others. And so there might be opportunities where someone will come to us and they're in a relationship with a fool. whether it's a business relationship, they're just thinking about engaging in some kind of business venture or some kind of relationship, where because of tonight's study, we would be equipped to be able to help them and at least warn them or even encourage them to just avoid the fools. And God, we also know that you are merciful, and so Lord, we pray that you would give us opportunities, and that no matter what, when that opportunity comes, no matter who the person is and what they've been doing, that we would have enough compassion and mercy like you did, Jesus. That when a heart is wanting to do what's pleasing in your sight, that we would be there to share the gospel and help people see that, Jesus, you are the only true wisdom and source of salvation. And Jesus, we thank you for your great love for each one of us, and we give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.